This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to National Geographic.
There's something really wrong with white people.
Man.
Really wrong. That break devolved quickly. Thank God there's no camera in here yet.
You got that right. What is wrong with people?
This is what happens when white guys in like Alabama don't have a job. And
they don't want to be radio critics?
Yeah. So I guess I can.
You might as well just say it. You've said the word many times today.
All right, so if you Google out penis snake, if you Google penis snake, it's actually a thing.
We'll clarify that someone said that there was such a thing.
No, I just found that.
Oh, I thought they showed you. Oh, boy. That makes it worse.
No, I just Googled
that.
That's
not good.
But there is a, I guess this is a real thing that was discovered in Brazil because it doesn't look like it has eyes. But it really does.
Oh, it's got one.
But I will warn you, all right? So I saw that, and I was like, well, that can't be real. That has to be, like, Photoshopped. So I Googled penis snake, and that's a real snake. And it does look like one. And then the problem
is... That's the official name of that snake.
No, the official name is a Tritocona. A-T-R-E-T-O-C-H-O-A-N-A. A Tritocona?
I don't know. I do know that they're in the parade Saturday.
What I will tell you is don't scroll down to about the fourth or fifth row on Google Images because then you'll see a snake kissing another snake, so to speak. And it's a white guy. And it's just the weirdest thing ever. Why you would ever let a snake get that close to your junk, I will not understand. All right, let's move on.
One thing we haven't touched on today that we touched on before most yesterday was the fact that a rumored wrist injury to Yuli Gurriel turned into being a hand injury on his left hand in which he was flown back to Houston, to which that escalated quickly because now we find out, and he posted pictures on social media, he's actually had surgery on that hand today. A lot of people are saying it's a surgery and an injury similar to the one that Bagwell had that caused him to wear the big pad for the remainder of his career. But they're saying 4 to 6 weeks recovery time, probably going to miss the start of the season.
And so if I could rewind back to yesterday.
Yes.
When I said I thought he could hit 25 home runs, not happening now.
You think it's going to set him back that much?
Well, I was reading and they said that this kind of injury can be difficult, that you can come all the way back from. So it's not like he'll never be 100%. Uh-huh. But that it takes a long time to get the full strength back in your hand and feel really comfortable at the plate. And if you think about that, if he's out, 6 to 8 weeks, you said?
Yep.
So you're going
to
bleed
four
over.
To six, sorry.
All right, so 4 to 6 weeks, probably I would count on the 6 weeks. No spring training, so he's going to have to get back into that groove as well. I mean, you're talking at least 8 weeks or so until he's at the level he would be at if he had a spring training. Now, however long it takes to get back to 100% after the injury, because he'll still be able to swing it, but I worry now that it may be only, you know.
He can't stay batter ready because he can't work on his swing. He can stay in shape. He can do a lot of things, but in terms of the fact that that's your hand on the bat, so you can't be doing any swinging, they're like, yeah, you're exactly right. It's going to take at least 8 weeks.
Yeah, so you're talking about, March and April. I would be willing to bet you that he may not even be back to 100%. Maybe June-ish, July. So you're talking about having half a season left. And if I was saying 25.
You're gonna go that long?
Yeah.
To be back to
100%?
I think by June 1, he's 100%.
Okay, because they were saying it's one of those things, man. It can take a while.
Because you think about all of March, there's 4 weeks already.
But he's got the suspension, too.
5 games.
Yeah, so there's an extra week.
Right.
So if it's 4 to 6 weeks, if he comes back in six weeks,
add
another week.
You can fudge that by saying you're fresh and ready to go. And he's
five days early.
But at the same time, you look at it, 4 weeks in March, 4 weeks in April, and the season starts when? Like late April?
No, it starts April 1st.
Oh, April 1st. Okay, yeah. So you miss April. That's 8 weeks. And then if it's longer than that, I still think he's back by June 1st. In the meantime, though, so we're thinking Marwin at first and Fisher in left?
I don't know, because you've got to get Marwin his at-bats, but you still need him to move around. I mean, you want him... He moves
around a lot in his at-bats.
Yeah, but the formula last year, remember now, this wasn't a... none of those guys on this team were going to break a record for playing in all 162 games. A.J. Hinch made sure he rested everybody. And that's the beauty of having a Marwin Gonzalez, is he can play left. He can, you know, if you had to, you could play right, but you don't need that because you got Mariznick and you got plenty of guys that can play the outfield. But he's going to spell everybody on that infield. So somebody's going to have to be the fill-in at first base if Marwin isn't playing it. It wouldn't surprise me to start the year if Marwin starts in left and somebody like Reed or Tyler White or somebody like that gets the call at first base. You put them at the bottom of the lineup, so they're not going to kill you. I mean, having a Tyler White batting ninth or A.J. Reed batting ninth in this lineup isn't going to hurt you.
The other thing is Fisher, they're still not sold on Fisher against lefties. So I'm sure right off the bat with Cole Hamels, he'll probably not play. And so to your point, whether Marwin plays first or whether
he plays left. They're probably not going to play White either.
Right. So that's why I'm thinking they'll probably put someone else in the outfield. They'll probably put Marwin at first, at least for the opener, and then go from there. But I would still think that Fisher's going to get more consistent at bats.
Yeah. It might be. I mean, that may be the case.
Interesting to see. But again, kind of what Charlie said, the only news that could be, and you know, any news coming out of spring training would be if there was an injury.
One thing that's not going to happen, so don't even ask. Kyle Tucker's not going to get the left field spot.
And everybody keeps asking that all over the place. And it's just not, you're not going to start the clock on that guy for arbitrations and everything else. It's just not going to happen.
Not for this kind of injury. No,
he could hit 475 and he's going back now, to the minors.
Now, could they go out and possibly, remember that list of aging, you know, like a Cargo or a Worth or somebody like that? That's possible. If you can get them at a really good reduced rate for a year, like you had a Beltran contract where it's just going to be the 1 year.
So I had a name that was not on your list yesterday that I thought of that I was going to bring up to you and see if he had signed anywhere yet, because he has played some first base.
Okay.
Jonathan Lucroy. A guy that they were kicking the tires on from the catcher position as well. But he had played some first base for the Rangers, and I hadn't heard anything one way or the other. Has he signed anywhere?
Let me look it up, because I feel like he has, but I could be wrong. That's a name that I was watching early on. Rockies.
Well, that's where he was last year. He re-signed?
Oh, no, you're right. 2018, he's still an unrestricted free agent.
There's a guy, and again,
yeah, because they got traded to the Rockies.
The price tag may be lower now because he's just sitting around waiting.
Pretty interesting if he is still available.
And he's a good bat. He's played first base. He can still spell you at catcher when you need a guy that, and he's been a decent defensive catcher in his career too.
Let me pull up the list of
availables.
Yep, he is out there.
All right, so there's one I'll throw into the mix.
That's a good name. 31 years old. Yeah,
I'm going to throw that.
It's
one
a guy that the Astros were interested in too.
Yep.
Now you could. That's another possibility, right? Is adding a guy like that if he's played a little bit of first base. But is it possible that maybe you see Evan Gattis get some reps out there?
I think so.
And have Max Stassi fill that spot,
especially if Stassi stays hot.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's a guy that will get a shot if he hits the heck out of the ball, and he has been so far to this point. So if he continues to show his wares and do well, then it gives you the ability to be a little bit more versatile and try some other things.
Yep.
And again, you're not going to question what Gattis does with the stick. It's just more about defensively what he's going to do at first base or
how
he can hurt
it.
You or help you. You know? If he can just go through the motions, you're fine. If he hurts you, it's a problem.
I mean, last year, for the most part, the fill-in was Marwin.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
So the chances are if they don't trust A.J. Reed or Tyler White, then you might actually see Gattis play a little left. You might see Fisher. You might see some sort of platoon out there. You could possibly move Reddick over, put Mariznick in center, and put Springer in right. They've got some options. So it's not like they can't do anything.
Yeah, they're still a deep team.
And you've got Kemp that you could bring up, and he can play center if you wanted to move Springer. So there's a ton of different options. I feel like, though, that this is probably a good time for them to say, all right, has Reed and White matured enough? Because they showed flashes of being capable, especially in the minors, but they didn't show great when they got up here necessarily. Right. But this might be another one of those opportunities.
So it'll be interesting to see. Again, it sucks that he's going to be out, but at the same time, Maybe it opens the door for somebody else. Or like I said, maybe a guy like Derek Fisher finally gets consistent at bats to where he can show what everybody has believed in it to be what he can do once he gets a consistent time on the field.
Somebody texted that Singleton can play. Yeah, they're not.
You know where he can play? In the grass.
Yeah, he ain't.
He's a big fan of the grass.
Yes, indeed, he is.
Is he gone for good now?
No, not yet.
Because they signed him to that ridiculous deal.
Yep, they're still paying him.
He's getting at least $5 million a year, I think.
He is due. You want to hear his contract?
Oh,
jeez,
boy.
Astros. I mean, you can't blame Luno for this. This year, he'll make $2 million base salary.
Yeah.
Total salary, though, $936,000. So I'm guessing there's some bonus in there. Uh-huh. Next year, a club option at $2.5 million. Not happening. Nope. Yeah. And then $5 million and then $13 million. So when they signed him, they gave him, you know, the $2 million. It was a $2 million average salary. But this should be the last year that they have to pay him.
Because I knew it was like 5 and 25 or something ridiculous. But thank God it was backloaded. Because I'm thinking, man, no matter what he's making this year, it's too much.
So on this site, they give you the total amounts. John Singleton has made $7.7 million doing absolutely nothing in the majors.
Oh, he did something?
Well, I guess. If they kept him, which they won't, he'd end up making almost $9 million, or a little over $9 million. Hey, you win some, you lose some, right? Look at the deal they got for guys like Altuve and Correa right now.
No doubt. No doubt. But yeah, that's definitely one that they wish they had back.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I love me some Faith Evans. We're going to keep going. I got hour number three way back Wednesday, the year 1999. We've still got things that we can talk about and other things that you want to get off your chest that you've got on your mind. Give us a call, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Hi, my name is what? My name is
his name's Sadie. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the Usual Suspects, final hour of the big show. Nick, Barry, Joel, as we roll on, you Cowboy fans should be happy that it's finally been decided that it definitely was a catch by Dez Bryant. They are definitely working on tweaking the rule. And hopefully, because the owners still have to vote on it at some point later on down the line, that hopefully we will get some clarity and a cleaner rule that can be called so that there aren't any discrepancies or as many as we went through even in the last year.
Well, now they're complicating things because they said that they're discussing making a change to the pass interference call. And instead of it being a spot foul, that it would be 15 yards.
See, that's BS. I hate that.
Well, it's funny because a couple of people were tweeting about it in the article and talked about the fact that if you did that in 2017, the Pittsburgh Steelers' actual defensive pass interference yards was 299. If under the new rules, it would have been 171, a net difference of minus 128 yards. I think the best point was kind of made by Bill Barnwell where he said his opinion on the fix is a standard pass interference is 15 yards.
Right.
So in other words, you're running a 10-yard out route and you get there before the ball does as a defender and you interfere with it. Okay, that's 15 yards. It's not a spot foul. And I guess 10 yards is a bad one because it still would be. Your 20-yard out route is a 15-yard pass interference call. But if you impede with a guy, or he said any pass interference where you flagrantly prevent a clear path at a touchdown is a spot foul.
That's what I was going to say.
Now, I couldn't agree more with both of those assessments that in theory it makes sense. But this is also the NFL that can't even figure out what the hell a catch is. And so now you're going to have arguments of clear path and was he really – you can't predict what route he was going to run. What if he was going to break off the route and run an out route or run into the sidelines or cut across the middle? So it's just starting to become more complicated. It's almost like you just have to say if the receiver was X amount of yards downfield, it's, you know, it's X amount of yards.
What I don't like is the offensive team gets punished. Like, if you get a guy beat, cooked, and whatever, and he tackles you, and you know would have been a surefire fire touchdown, no one in the vicinity, and instead it's 15 yards. I hate that.
I hate that, too. But you've also got a guy like Tom Brady that can throw a ball short knowing if one of his receivers comes back on it and it's fourth down, and you just throw it to the goal line, but throw it a bit short where the receiver comes back, that's an easy first down pass interference call. So there's at the end of the day, you're right. There's got to be some middle ground, and you would think that common sense would come up and say, all right, if it's here's the rules for 15 yards, and these are the rules for a spot foul.
Like, overall, that's not broken, so don't fix that. Worry about the catch. Worry about what you said, the fact that you can't even get wrong right there. So get that straight before you start worrying about anything else with penalties and pass.
But what happens more often, though? Pass interference. And I think you have to prioritize it by what happens more often. The catch rule in the end zone, that how many times has that happened all season? I don't know. But I think I can count it on one hand.
Yeah.
But pass interference, that's an ongoing situation. And there's so many of these Peter Pack calls that you don't really know. There's a lot of times I'm watching TV and I'm like, I don't know which way that should go.
Yeah.
And I don't know how the ref is going to call this.
Think about how many times a Texans secondary or a Texans corner like Kareem Jackson hasn't turned around. And by design, I mean, Q Dems on our show one day, I asked him point blank, why do the Texans secondary, why are you guys in coverage never turn around and locate the ball? And he said, we're taught not to do that. Mm-hmm. But think about how many times that's led to a pass interference call because they didn't even attempt to locate the ball. They're just face guarding. They end up getting a PI on a route that wasn't a touchdown, but it was a sideline, but they were in. And that was 40 yards downfield as opposed to it just being 15. So in that regard, it does make sense. I just feel like if there was, you know, like he said, if it's clearly a touchdown, if you did it to prevent an obvious touchdown, then it would be a spot foul.
Yeah, to me, that's the biggest thing. Nick, I know the frequency thing is a good point, but the thing to me is, it was such a big deal this year because it happened more frequently and it became such a big deal because of the Steelers game. It probably cost them home field advantage against the Patriots in the playoffs. You know, a lot of these were big time calls. One happened in the Super Bowl. So, and everybody still goes back to the Dez play where that was a playoff game where you've got to get that right.
I mean, the other way to look at it is that is more significant. The catch rule, when that goes wrong, it may have more of a significant impact than if you get a pass interference call wrong, despite it not being as frequent.
You think there was a lot of pass interference calls in the past, but now if a D-back knows, hey, no matter what happens, it's only 15 yards, I'm tackling every chance I get. There's going to be even more penalties because guys are going to have their hands all over receivers going, man, if it's only 15 when they catch me, screw it. At least I'm not getting beat for six.
Yeah, especially if you feel like you're about to get beat and they're, you know, let's say it's first and 25.
Double move or...
Yeah, just tackle them first and 25 or it's fourth down and 25 or third and 20. Yeah, you can get
out
of that.
Well, that's automatic first down.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, you would give them automatic. Yeah, you're right. So the other rule that they talked about in the NFL was they're calling it the McDaniels rule.
And what is that?
It's, Judy Batista said another thing, league is expected to change the rule to allow teams to hire coaches even while their teams are still active in the playoffs. That proposal has come up before and failed, but is expected to have greater support after the Josh McDaniels situation with the Colts. I don't see why it would be a big deal either way, but I'm glad that they're addressing it. At least the NFL is looking at some of this stuff and going, maybe we're being too stringent and too ridiculous.
I think the just joshing clause is still in there because as long as you don't ink the contract, you can agree to everything all you want, but until you sign it, you can still go back to your previous team.
But that's the thing. Had the rule been in place, the Colts would have signed him, and that would have never happened. As it stands, they waited because they had to wait, and it allowed him more time to change his mind.
But in some cases, they'll still say they'll come to an agreement. They'll have a verbal and they'll go, okay, we'll just ink it when you're done.
But they're saying, but they have to do that. Right now, the rule says you can't sign
that.
If you're coaching on another
that.
Team.
Technically, you cannot sign a document.
In other words, he would have never left Indy without signing a contract. But he had to leave and go, yeah, I'll be back and we'll get this done.
Or they came to him wherever they met.
Yeah,
right.
But that's the it makes sense to me. It's not like he's going to go back and start sabotaging These guys, I mean, the coaching fraternity is a tight-knit deal. You're not going back and sabotaging New
biggest
England.
Biggest thing is the league's just trying to get as much egg off of their face as they can from what has really haunted them in the previous calendar year.
Yeah.
Because between the catch, no catch, between, you know, the embarrassment of teams that had coaches, you know, in the case of the Colts, that had a coach that left, the officials were terrible all year. So it'll be interesting if they see if they tweak anything else with replay.
Yeah.
Because that's one that took a lot of scrutiny, too. Because even with the replay, a lot of times they didn't get it right, i.e. New England against the Jets.
Yeah, I don't understand. And then the Steelers thing, they still didn't get that right. But that goes back to what's a catch and what's not. But yeah.
I don't know, man. I think this might be my favorite song on all three lists.
I love it.
Vibrant thing. This is his Tupac.
I am making
every list that we get.
I am making this my Ice Baby for you guys.
Love this.
This is on everyone. Really?
I don't know
why. I'll use this as many times as I can. Wish the bliss could never take flight. I'm 5 for 5 with a grand slam and a whole bunch of ribbies, and I'm still swinging.
Is that?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. We got a half hour to go on the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. Stay tuned next. We'll talk about JJ Watt being traded for a first round pick. No, we won't. We'll be talking about an update from the new general manager of the Houston Texans, who wants to give you an update on both JJ Watt and Deshaun Watson's recovery, as well as a guy we talked about yesterday, as well on top of JJ Watt, who might be a guy they're looking to lock up after all. Back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Can I rhyme? Well, you know I guess mine. Sitting around in my abstract car.
This abstract thing going abstract far. The most delicious app in the business and the easiest steak you can download. Wait, I think I messed that up. The most delicious steak in the business and the easiest sports radio app you can download.
Nice.
Yeah, right?
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final half hour of the big show. It is Barry, Nick, Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, continuing to fly through yet another good one on a way back Wednesday.
Cali Boy in Texas said, divorced my crazy ex-wife in 99. Not a song, but it was way back.
Is this mint condition?
It's not the right song.
That's what it seems. That's what it says. I clicked two different versions of it. It sounds exactly the same.
Not the right song. Yeah, it's not the right song. If you love me, say it. We can find it.
You chose a mint condition song?
Love mint condition.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
That definitely
you
wouldn't.
Cut this one out, because that's not.
Populated my list.
I know he's going to kill me, so I just don't want it to keep playing.
I mean, I liked mint condition, but.
You just said that. So, see, there you go. If you like mint condition, they're not bad.
Not anybody I'm adding to my Way Back Wednesday list.
Nick and I talked about this. It's our personal preferences. If I like the songs and the artists, I'm putting it out
there.
I like Faith Evans. Guys, I'm putting it out there.
If you guys have bad taste, I'm not saying that's. I'm not. It's so easy to get him mad about his list.
You hammered my song for like three segments, Joel.
It's so easy to get him upset about his list. I just have to say something. Even every week.
How about this? I'll find the right one.
Every week you have something to say about
it. Even if I liked your list, I wouldn't say it now just because I know I can get you to be like, and I know mine aren't good, but I'm never going to tell you that. No way. Let the people vote. What did the people say on Twitter on the tweet? Did they respond who won?
I didn't even look.
I haven't either, but evidently you have if you're already fishing for it.
No.
New Texans GM Brian Gain, as I previewed before the break, had a couple things to say. As all the GMs and coaches end up doing press conferences while at the Combine in Indianapolis, first thing he said, it was very difficult to let go of Brian Cushing.
Oh, I bet. I bet he was just crushed by that.
I mean, that's one I think you just got to make. I mean, at least he was able to make it because I don't think
you don't do it.
Do you think Rick Smith would have?
Yeah.
Do you?
It was a fundamental NFL move.
So that's why I ask it. Do you think Rick Smith would have?
Touche.
Okay. Just asking there. Now, he also is very optimistic about the recoveries for both J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson, so that's a good thing. J.J.'s already canceled his celebrity softball game this year because he is focused even more so than ever on his recovery. So a lot of people disappointed about the softball game, but I think they understand why as he continues to make progress, so to speak. But someone asked me today, have you heard anything more? Other than what Gain has been talking about in his press release or in his press conference, I have not heard the Texans put out a press release or information on either one of them. I don't know if you have. I just know that J.J. has tweeted and Instagrammed and everything else showing him on that treadmill with the non-weight bearing, and Deshaun and him are doing sprints.
But I'm also not just sitting by my Twitter and newsfeed going, please give me a J.J. update. Please give me a J.J. I mean, at some point we'll hear about it, but I don't need to know. Well, he's at 5%. He's up to 7%. I don't care.
His quote yesterday was, I just tell you things are going positively as it relates to their timeline.
Good.
I'm optimistic that when the season comes around, things will be in good standing.
Boy, he needs to run for president or governor or something. That was the most politically neutral. Like what was the last part? In good standing?
I'm optimistic that when the season goes around, things will be in good standing.
Wow. That sounds like a guy versed in the Patriot way, doesn't it?
Yeah. Watson has resumed running on the anti-gravity treadmill, is hopeful of participating on a limited basis at the OTAs, and he is very optimistic about that as well. And we all know that Watt is doing whatever he can to come back. And the other thing that we talked about yesterday, and we actually brought it up, and then he broached it last night, that the fact that the team is exploring locking up Jadeveon Clowney. And we said... That's a big price tag now.
It's going to be costly.
Because we said Gruden had said that he should be the highest paid non-quarterback player in this league, and that would be Ndamukong Suh. A year ago, you said it was like $26 million a year. That is a huge price tag for a guy that has come around nicely in the last 2 years, but over the first couple of years of his career, looked like he could be labeled a bust with the injuries and the setbacks and everything that he went through.
And then you got to worry about, once he gets his money, is he going to put it on, you know, rev the engine down a little bit and just start coasting, because that's a concern.
And a lot of people have said that once he gets the deal, that he's going to relax again. He's making 13.8 this year in the final year on a team option of his initial contract, but they'd look to extend him long term. But the other example given was Von Miller's contract, $70 million guaranteed, 114.1 for 6 years. That is a lot of do-re-mi.
Indeed. Did you see this? More football news. So there's a ton of stuff going on right now.
Which is great.
Yeah. One, the NFL Network has signed a deal with the American Flag Football League. Huh? Oh, guys? Yeah! What?
Who needs 11? Who needs the Pro Bowl when you can get it? 11
the
weeks
league,
a year.
Which starts next month, will have 11 games broadcast by the NFL Network from June 29th to July 19th. It's a single elimination tournament with 128 teams of grown-ass men. I don't know why I had to put it like that. Amateurs, though. In the summer, the top amateur teams that have advanced will match up against four teams of former professional athletes. Not football players, athletes that include Michael Vick, Chad Johnson, Nate Robinson, and Carlos Boozer. Why is Carlos Boozer playing flag football?
Did he use the spray hair?
I don't know. Additional players will be announced at a later date. Ooh, who? Hey, raise your hand.
Oh, man.
Nick, put it up there high if you're watching flag football on the NFL Network in June.
Would never. Mm, I'd participate.
No. The only reason I ever watched flag football was that I told you guys, when the NFL Network had the 7-on-7s for the up-and-coming college prospects, and they had the top five quarterback prospects in the country and some of the best receivers in the country playing 7-on-7 on the Nike campus. Yeah. And you're like, damn, that dude can throw a little bit. He's athletic. And you get to see these kids a little bit to see that they're going to be going to major programs. I don't want to see Carlos Boozer running tight end patterns or whatever. And Michael Vick, by all intents and purposes, he should run circles around everyone.
Yeah, it shouldn't be close. The winning team gets $1 million.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the games will be played 7-on-7, regulation size, 100-yard field.
You watching
so,
it?
Hell no.
No.
I watched the flag football during the Pro Bowl with the kids, the ones from Texas.
Yeah.
Was it Spring or the Woodlands or whatever?
Close enough.
And that was enough flag football for me for several years, just watching that one game. Because the rules are so different and squirrely, and, yeah, it's not my thing. Other things that happened, Papa John's is out as an NFL sponsor.
This was an ongoing deal, but holy cow, you and I were talking about the break. This was a huge story today.
Pizza Hut is now the official replacement for the league and the official pizza provider, I guess, or official pizza sponsor of the NFL. But Papa John's isn't going away. Apparently, they still have deals with individual teams. You know, you hear commercials about, right. I love J.J. Watt. I love Houston. Call now. So they still are doing that. But they're just not the, like, I guess, the official pizza sponsor of the NFL.
You made a great point. There's no way that there's a mutual parting of the ways between the two parties if you don't have someone waiting in the wings. And Pizza Hut, less than 24 hours later, is the official pizza partner of the NFL.
Because I'm sure once the whole thing went down where Papa John's was saying that the kneeling, and
the
that cost him. And I'm sure that maybe both sides were like, well, maybe we need to reevaluate. We don't need our sponsors out here stirring up trouble and making us look bad. And I'm sure the sponsor was like, well, our money, you're hurting our bottom line because we signed this long-ass deal, so... You know, maybe they just came together and said, look, we'll get Pizza Hut. You have to let us do that, and then we'll get out and you pay some sort of early termination fee or whatever and let them out of it. But I just, at the end of the day, does anything like that really sway you? Do you order your pizza based on who the official pizza sponsor of the NFL is?
Never. Nope. Negative.
Now, I've heard, apparently AJ and Fred are pizza snobs.
They are. I've heard them talk about it.
I've heard them, I think yesterday they were killing... Was it Pizza Hut or Domino's? They were killing Domino's.
I'm okay with them killing Domino's, though.
You don't like Domino's?
Mm-mm. Well, they love J.J. Watt, so they were definitely knowing the fact that as long as J.J. was the sponsor at Papa John's, they were big on Papa John's.
Domino's has that good ice, what is it? It's like a cinnamon twist with
the
frosting.
That's a dessert.
It might
that's
be good. That's not pizza, though.
I saw people start their polls on Twitter already when this was coming down about of the major pizza providers, the national brands, how do you rank them?
Delicious. All of them are delicious. It's pizza.
I think Pizza Hut is head and shoulders
wine,
above the other two.
But it's not wine. It's not. It's pizza. It's dough. It's cheese. And it's pepperoni. Is there really some pepperonis that is better than others?
They can screw it up.
Absolutely. Really?
Papa John's is tight on. They don't give you enough sauce, and it's normally not cooked enough. It's normally. And Domino's. I haven't had them in a while, but Domino's to me was.
Man, we eat pizza in our house a lot. Like a lot. Little Caesars, Domino's,
pizza.
Papa John's, Pizza Hut, all of them. We'll eat
I know
all
parents
that.
When there's like kid parties, kids don't care. Like. They don't care if you get it from Little
yeah,
Caesars.
They're just looking for a deal. If you've got to buy
Costco,
one, get one free or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, they're getting cheap pizza. Yeah. But I think when you grow up and you can identify.
Jerry got his at Costco.
Dude, I'll eat a Totino's pizza, the dollar pizza.
I love Totino's
I'll eat
pizza.
Those,
but now we're talking frozen pizza. That's
right.
A different dynamic.
I see. It's all just pizza to me because you're eating it hot.
I think Falbo Brothers is above.
I was
when,
just
going
to say.
When Falbo Brothers becomes the national sponsor, then they got it right.
Yeah.
But other
I see,
than that,
I've never
Nick
had
and I
it.
Are both pizza snobs for Falbo Brothers because they do it right.
Honey admits all the time that like he has a quality ingredients and he can't, or he's at least admitted to me that he can't pass along the same savings that somebody
because the ingredients are better.
Because they buy
them all fresh.
Yes, and so if you want to try like quality ingredients, you'll find a lot of these independent shops, especially like a store like Falbo Brothers.
Are you back Friday?
I am.
We maybe
are you gonna bring
yeah,
Falbo
maybe
Brothers?
We should bring Falbo Brothers in for Friday.
Yeah,
Barry is
I'm
yet
off,
to have it.
So yeah, I guess we mentioned it, but I'm off tomorrow.
Right. Oh, did we? We haven't mentioned it yet, but yeah,
no,
you're off tomorrow.
But I'm off tomorrow. I'll be back Friday for the show. Yes, yeah, since I didn't get any salt grass,
I'll have to check with Honey and see if we can't make that happen.
Yeah, because that pizza is just—I mean, the ingredients that he uses on that pizza is insane.
See, I guess it's like beer with me. Like, they're, you know, Tyler and AJ and some of the and Fred and these guys are beer snobs because they know. Oh well, there's this. Like, if you just gave me a Bud Light or a Miller Light or a Coors Light, I don't care. I'll drink whatever.
And I'm kind of
and then
you.
I'll get a specialty craft beer and I'm like, God, this is bad.
Yeah,
it's real like bitter or oh no, that's it's hoppy and oaty and I don't mean any of that. Just give me a damn beer. But I feel like it's partially my like I'm kind of pizza stupid too because I'll just eat whatever pizza.
I'm with you on the beer part. I'm not knowledgeable enough. And then when I feel all fancy, I pick this beer that I have like, really no care for.
Pearl? You never had Pearl?
No.
Oh.
Or I have and I didn't like it.
Pearl.
And didn't remember
it. Tastes like a koala bear peed in it. It's like you got two. It tastes like two penises. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that
bad. I don't know how you know that. But anyway.
Nick told me. I don't know.
Oh, see? And then he dumped you. All right. We got one segment to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. Fred, AJ, Jong, they take over with the Blitz at 4, but we'll take you all the way up to it right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
So I glanced at the girl glanced at me. I whispered in the air, you wanna be with me? You wanna look pretty though in my video.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment, Usual Suspects for a Way Back Wednesday.
So apparently I'm a basic bitch.
As opposed to a complicated bitch?
Yeah, I'm a basic bitch.
Why? Texts are getting at you?
Yeah, somebody said Barry with the basic palate. Hey, man, I don't know.
Once you've tasted koala wang, it changes everything.
Adam said, if you've ever had New York pizza, you'd understand. Because when I got back to Texas, it all tasted like cardboard. I mean, I get it. I could see that. But
people from New York say that. Chicago says that. New York says that.
Joel needs to try Domino's again. 3 years ago, they changed their crust.
I have heard that.
After Falbo Brothers, I doubt Joel's trying anything else. But,
right.
I'm with you on the pizza and beer, Barry. Cheap is just as good as... and it's just as good because it's all good. I mean, it's pizza.
Like when I was a kid, I get that. But you become a connoisseur, and again, when you have to watch what you eat and things like that, and you only have the one day a week or every now and then you're going to have the pizza, you make sure when you have pizza, it's good pizza so you don't eat it and go, damn, that sucked. Why did I have that?
And then Barry's is just a kid, so there's that. First of all, you can't even spell Barry. So why are you calling me out?
He spelled it with an E?
He spelled it like a third grader would spell Barry. Yeah, with an E. But I'm with you, Burry. Buy any pizza is good pizza except for pineapples. No pineapples.
I agree with that. But like when I was
like you give me a pineapple and ham pizza, whatever.
I'm surprised Joel wouldn't eat pineapples on his pizza.
Never.
Me too.
Never. Ugh.
I'm surprised he wouldn't get pineapples.
No way. I love pineapple. It just, first of all, I don't like hot pineapple.
Yeah.
I don't want to heat it and I don't want it on my pizza.
Yeah. I'm with you on
that. There's a bunch of stuff that you like. My wife won't eat warm potato salad.
I'm with her on that.
I'll warm it up.
Like after you won't eat cold corn.
Nope.
After Thanksgiving, really? I'll make a plate and I'll have potato salad and mashed potatoes and turkey and all that. Throw it in the microwave. I don't care if the potato salad's warm. I kind of like it.
Even with the mayonnaise?
Yeah. What? It's the other thing. People freak out about warm mayonnaise. Why?
I don't like that either.
Like if I'm gonna have sometimes I'll make a sandwich and I want the cheese melted, and I'll have ham and. Or turkey.
Oh, I love the cheese
melt. And cheese, and I'll have already mayo on it, and I'll throw that bad boy in the microwave. I don't care. It gets warm if you put
melted
all the
cheese is almost like foreplay to a guy from Wisconsin. I mean, you got to have melted cheese.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. I'm not from Wisconsin.
No. Believe me, I know.
Jared said, I think I ran into OU Mike yesterday. He was wearing a Who Farted shirt and asked if he could have some skull.
Did he go, when he left, did you hear, you did, it might
have
been him.
Hey, you got any skull? I don't have none.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, this was a question. If you had your choice, would you want Bridgewater or Keenum?
Oh, man.
Which would you go with?
Say again?
If you had your choice, would you want Bridgewater or Keenum?
I'm taking Keenum because he's proven.
It's probably going to cost you more.
Yeah, well, it depends. We didn't say about the price tag.
It doesn't matter.
For a backup quarterback, because you're assuming Watson's going to be healthy, then maybe you kick the tires on Bridgewater, but I'm not paying exorbitant amounts of money for Keenum. But you've already had him, and there's been enough people in the organization, including your head coach, that poo-pooed on him.
Yeah.
Then don't.
If money's no object, I'm going Keenum, but I don't know.
I'm going Keenum, too.
The guy that said Barry, and he spelled it B-E-R-R-Y, said, it's voice to text, jackass. Yeah, well, you know what? You said Barry's and had an apostrophe S, so you're a liar. Because voice to text is not putting an apostrophe S, jackass.
And you called him a name in the process,
yeah.
So why in the hell should he not, jackass? Yeah. I'll jump in on that one.
Thank you.
Jeez.
Thank you.
Get put an IE here. On it next time.
Try a grilled peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
No chance.
Hell no.
Never, now, ever,
I've heard
ever.
About the deep fried ones.
Oh, I would try that.
Yeah, because they always...
You can pretty much deep fry any food. I had to watch it. If I would have said anything, Joel would have been like, what about koala penis? No. I mean, is he alive?
You already stated that.
Is We're he good. Alive or dead? But you can pretty much deep fry almost any food, and I think I would try it at least once.
What about a baby's arm?
No.
Okay.
What am I, Jeffrey Dahmer?
Okay, you've never heard the expression then.
Oh, baby's arm? Yeah, yeah. I've heard that.
Yeah.
Oh, you, Mike said, my T-shirt says I farted, not who farted.
And okay. It wouldn't be a show unless we heard from OU Mike, and now we've done that,
yeah.
Which is extremely good.
Yeah, he
good
didn't time. Call in today. What
a happened? 1,000 people are texting in. Specific places to try. I only want to try one place, Fable Brothers. I don't care about the rest. I don't care.
And if you care about those other places, Fred and AJ have a list. They keep it. It's a running list.
You guys have talked up Fable Brothers enough. It, much in the way that I talked up Cowboys and Indians to you guys where you went and tried it.
Are you thin crust or deep dish?
Oh, I'm definitely thin crust.
I'm both.
I can't do the deep dish.
I know.
I prefer deep dish.
I'll get both brought in, but I just want to know for Barry's preference.
I don't like the deep dish. I like regular hand tossed. I don't even like thin crust, really. But I'll go, if I had to pick between the two, I'll go thin crust.
I prefer a deep dish when it's, like, really messy. Like, you have to, like, I always eat pizza with my hands, but if it's, like, that really messy deep dish where you kind of have to eat it with a fork and knife, I actually like that.
Pro tip, ask for them to do it well done.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you go deep dish and well done,
it's
the crust holds up a little better, and then, Nick, you can still kind of do either.
Okay.
Yeah, so I always have Fable Brothers do it well done. It takes, obviously, an extra 5-10 minutes, but it's worth it.
80's in here, so Barry must have broke something
nope,
in the studio.
I did not break anything.
What did you break?
No,
80's in
not,
here.
No, it's not because of me.
Every we got time 3 minutes to go on the show. What do you want to bitch about that AD's going to hear about all the things that you think should be upgraded?
Nope, didn't say a word. Did you guys hear about the story where FedEx lost all these tests?
No.
So, apparently... These students, their tests were on Valentine's Day night around 10:30. I got an email that just said, sorry, lost your test. We'll give you your $50 back. And it was like, what happened? So apparently they put all the texts in a box, the tests in a box, and FedExed them. And FedEx lost the ACT test. So now every kid that had a text that was in that box has to retake the ACT.
Now, that would suck, especially if you cheated. But by the way, that would still suck if you had to retake it.
I probably would have been mad, but FedEx probably would have done me a favor if they lost my ACT results. So,
do you remember what you got?
I really don't. I really don't. But I don't think I did very well.
You remember yours, Barry?
I don't think I did bad. I know on my SAT, I qualified to get into Baylor.
SATs was the bigger
number. I don't know
number.
How hard
ACTs,
that is.
ACTs, like, if you're in
SAT
the 20s.
SATs is a more difficult one.
But I'm saying, what did you get on your ACTs?
It was
a number in the 20s you're doing really well.
Oh, I think
I'm
I
pretty
got
sure.
Like
ACTs was a bigger number, like
I
a three-digit number.
I got a 17 or 18 on my ACT and got like 920 on
the
SAT.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's a three-digit number for the.
But I could be wrong. That was a long, long time
SATs.
Ago.
SATs. I only took the ACT. I know that. Yeah.
This is a great song.
Because we both had it.
I didn't say a word. I just said, great song.
You
see who brought it up.
I don't care.
Great song. Who sings?
Great minds think alike. And on that
note. Love this genuine.
See? This is the genuine article right here.
We got to tell people why. So when we do our list, Joel and I embrace each other, and then we argue and fight over email like it's a text message. Joel will send me 9 emails in a row like we're texting. I'm like, bro, just like group it all into one email. I'll get 9 in a row.
No, not voice emailing.
But we argue every.
I can when I'm in the car, but normally I'm at home on my laptop.
Every Tuesday we argue, and so he beat me this time by a minute or two.
I did mine last night.
I know, me too.
Okay,
but we both had this song on there. But my list said Juveniles back that ass up.
No.
Joel's had Genuine back that ass up, and I was like, he goes, you lose, and I was like, no. I didn't. Mine is
the
correct
right.
one.
I used
mine
your terminology
right.
from the week before when you smart-assed me and went, try again.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah. And then.
But I'm just saying, on a technicality, I win because Genuine didn't sing it.
But technically, he didn't put Juvenile either because he's cool like that. He put Juvie.
But that's his nickname. That'd be like putting Big Papa instead of Biggie Smalls. He knew. Genuine.
He knew. The rest of us were like, it could have been anybody.
Yeah. You know, way to take that L like a champ.
You guys don't have to take that. So you just have to take
tomorrow.
The blitz. They're next.
You're going to miss me tomorrow, aren't you?
Not a chance.
Barry's not necessarily the winner yet. We still got, right. You know, I totally replies.
Won today. No, you didn't.
I totally won today.
It was a two-horse race,
though.
You had
mint condition.
So what?
I won. Mambo number 5 in mint condition. I won.
Not even close.
All right, I'll miss you guys. I'll see y'all
Friday.
We're
going to be at the Bad Pants Open tomorrow out in Kingwood at the Country Club. While they're golfing, we'll be talking. So we'll catch you there tomorrow. And then, of course, back with the usual suspects all intact on Friday. We'll talk to you tomorrow. For Nick, for Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night. The Blitz is next. ESPN 97.5. In the middle like Monday. Get my chick and a hook of my chick.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.